Okay, I'm number six, and this is TMP Live. We are live on TMP and AM Wake Up channels. And here's this week's monologue. Every morning that I wake up, throw my legs out of bed, and can stand up straight, is a good day. Perhaps I take it for granted too often, but being able to walk a couple miles, getting some all-important sun, and breathing in sync with my motion and my thoughts is a gigantic blessing. Someone that's had multiple back surgeries like I have and experiences arthritic flare-ups at the tender age of 40, it's not the best candidate for having long-term health. Because of the weakness in my lower back, my exercise options are limited now. The consequence of another injury, more invasive surgery, and the potential of paralysis is always there too. The biggest part, though, is the mental struggle. With so much else going on with the world and my life, I've gone through periods of time where I've neglected myself, given into impulse more because of my mood, maybe fallen victim to temptation and events, and at times when I have to eat quickly. But none of it ever has any true reward. In fact, I feel like it's a way that I punish myself. You see, I know very well that eating cheesecake is fucking terrible for me. But put a slice of that shit on my kitchen counter and set a damn egg timer, okay? Most of us out there sort of know that though, right? I feel strongly that this audience in particular is clued into things, and it would be really hard to ignore that the food industry and the way that we have all been propagandized in the subject of health, and it's crystal fucking clear. I mean, the lies about sugar, the lies about cholesterol, the lies about smoking, but all may not be that simple of a lie. See, the problem with addressing something as specific as the effect of, say, high fructose corn syrup cannot and should not be only understood with a simple sentence or label. Hell, this is how most people get things wrong in all sorts of categories. Now, for instance, if it can be proven that the introduction of high fructose corn syrup has caused the uptick of heart disease in America, then the objective evidence should be public record. And those who are liable for damages should be held to account. But how do we get there? Can we rely on the state to investigate its patrons? Can we rely on universities whose grants come from these lobbies? Is there a fair and unbiased justice system? Fuck no. It's really going to have to come down to independent analysis, funded by a value for value system, just like this show and everything on TNP and AM Wake Up. The scientific community has been corrupted, and the truths that need to be shown in real life studies are way past due. But there's probably a cheaper way to proving what products have been sold to us as non-harmful and turn out to be. Stop using them. It's called the process of elimination. Scientific, even. Processed oils, food dyes, shit pump full of hormones and pesticides, and now shit genetically modified and fortified with bugs. The commercial food industry, owned by conglomerates, the same ones that own our politicians, our courts, our military, also own the nation's food supply. It's tracked, traced, weighed, and most importantly for the banks and the hierarchy, wagered on in the rigged-ass stock market. They spew garbage commercials into our kids' faces to buy this shit and spend millions to make us old fucks nostalgic for it. Our reactions, our purchases, and the ability to increase our cravings for trash food is an entire industry. And now, more than likely, being dissected by AI right now. As in food, health, and wellness, as it is in any other topic of this nature that we speak of here on TMP Live, we need to pull the plug on the commercial food industry. From the Chinese-owned Smithfields to the BlackRock-owned fast food names in every American town, it's all got to be abandoned by people that are willing to eat some homegrown vegetables and some eggs instead of shelling out $20 for a quote-unquote value meal I feel better when I eat better. I feel better when I'm consistent with my exercise. And I feel better when I buy food from a person and not the global corporatist oligarchy. I would encourage everyone listening to give it a try as well. Now, who's hungry? And that's this week's monologue. Drop a 6 in the chat if you feel me. Okay, so I am joined this evening by Amanda Sick. Amanda, you want to say hello to the people?
Hi, everyone. How's it going? I'm excited to talk to you today.
Hell yeah, Amanda. And being a person that's interested in the field of health, I mean, I can only imagine like the journey that's sort of taken place to bring you to where you're at with it. It looks like you've made progress, you know, in yourself, like physically, but then also mentally along this journey. And I wanted to bring someone like you on to kind of share that with others, because I think that it's inspirational and it's also empowering to know that people can make physical and mental change within themselves, and they can be, you know, disciplined in ways that can help them and help them live a better and healthier lifestyle. So I really appreciate your presence tonight, because I think that conversations like this can truly help people amongst the others that we have. So, but why don't you give the audience maybe just a little bit of background about you and your kind of journey into this subject, and how you got to making media and content?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. And I'm always, you know, wanting to try to, that's what I try to do with my platforms and stuff. And the information that I share is try to empower people as much as I can and inspire people to make those changes. Cause we definitely need more of that. And we need, I mean, it's obvious that just as a society, we're just sicker than we've ever been. And, but yeah, I'll start with, I guess, a little bit about how I got into this lifestyle and just so passionate about healthy eating and, you know, exercise and just holistic healing and all that. So I grew up eating the standard American diet of just ultra processed foods, tons of sugar, and just anything from a box or a package. I ate it growing up, or just fast food. And luckily I was pretty active as a kid. I always played sports and I was always outside playing and stuff. And when you're young too, I think you can handle a little bit more of the crappy food. And so luckily I didn't experience any like severe health issues, and I was never like really overweight as a kid or anything. But I did, you know, I did get sick a lot as a kid. I did have a lot of headaches, and just into high school, I developed really severe acid reflux that I was on medication for. It got so bad to the point where I would eat dinner and I would like start coughing to the point where I would throw up a lot of the time just after having dinner. And I dealt with like really painful periods for years, and yeah, migraines and just all kinds of fun stuff like that. But when I got to college, I started developing like really bad acne, and my skin just got so bad, like out of the blue. And I tried for so long to, you know, all these different topical creams and ointments and cleansers and stuff like that, and nothing was helping. And then I went to the doctor because I just was, you know, didn't know what else to try. And so they basically, without asking, you know, anything about my diet or my lifestyle or anything, they basically just saw me for 5 minutes and gave me a prescription for hormonal birth control and a strong antibiotic for my skin. And luckily I left feeling like something didn't sit right with me, and I just really didn't feel comfortable taking either one. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to try to do what I can to heal this naturally. And so I just dove deep into research on, I came across, you know, gut health, and just dove deep into research on that and the relation between the gut and the skin, and just how important gut health is for not just your skin, but your overall health and what you eat on a daily basis, among many other factors like your stress and your exercise and that kind of thing. But what you eat is like directly affecting your gut health. And so, like I said, I ate like, you know, pure garbage for 20 or so years of my life. And then in college, I started slowly making some changes, but it didn't happen overnight. Like I, you know, first went vegetarian. And so by doing that, that cut out a lot of the processed meats that I was eating and stuff. And I started being a little more mindful and trying to eat more vegetables and stuff, but still wasn't eating the best. Still was eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar and stuff. And then it wasn't until I switched to, you know, mainly whole foods, started juicing and cutting out like all the ultra processed stuff as much as I could. And anything that was very inflammatory, because things like, you know, I mean, any ultra processed food really, but things like dairy for a lot of people are very inflammatory, and gluten and sugar. And so when I started cutting all that out and started juicing a lot and eating a lot of raw foods and a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, and along with that, like exercising more and getting out in nature as much as I could and focusing on reducing my stress levels and all of that, that's when I really started to see massive changes in my skin. And it was, you know, more consistently clear. And but not just that, I realized like my painful periods went away. My, you know, I wasn't dealing with migraines or stomach issues, or I had more energy. I was sleeping better. I just felt happier, and just my whole mindset shifted too. And that's what, you know, I'm so I try to advocate too for people that have, you know, so many people have like mental health issues, and it's really, really important to focus on your gut health, because your gut and your brain are connected. And so what you're putting into your body every day, and your thoughts too, are going to affect, you on not just physically, but mentally. And so, yeah, so essentially I realized how, as I started healing myself, how powerful these things are. And so through that process, I also got very passionate about cooking and creating like healthier recipes and healthier versions of things that I used to enjoy. And so I started my food page and started sharing recipes online and making content. And yeah, just over the last, you know, it's been 5 or 6 years now since I've been living this lifestyle. And I'm always learning more and more, and, you know, learning more things about the body and what's good for us and what's, so yeah, I just have become very passionate about it and try to just advocate as much as I can for, regardless of what your diet is, like, just try to eliminate or greatly minimize the amount of ultra processed food that you're consuming, because that's going to make a huge difference. And it doesn't have to happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for me and most people. When you're used to eating a certain way for so many years, it's not going to, you know, don't expect yourself to change overnight. So just start. Yeah.
To do a cold turkey, I mean, it takes a lot of willpower to get past a lot of the temptation, especially because like the way that your body is sort of programmed when you're eating that sort of diet, like removing those things, like you do experience, you know, the cravings, the hunger, the brain fog. Like there's a lot, and like mood swings for me, like especially like if I'm famished, like if it's been hours since I've eaten, or if like I've fasted for way too long, like I don't have any fucking patience left. Like somebody can ask me a question, I'm just like, you know what, fuck you.
Yeah.
like immediately, like they're like, whoa, you know, like it's just you gotta watch. And like it's also like the moderation part, especially for someone that's a little bit obsessive like I am. Like that's kind of a hard part too. Like I have tendencies to overdo things. I have a tendency to get addicted to shit. That's why I can't play video games, because I'll make people cry if they play me in Mortal Kombat. Like that, just it's the same with like health and fitness. Like I wanna, like when I was younger, especially, like I want to go to the gym and I want to fucking murder myself because I want to look like Goku the next day. Like it's just, you know, like there was like that ego part of it, but then like through my injuries, I realized that I am human, that I should not ego lift at all. I have no business even doing so. I'm never going to be Mark fucking Henry or anybody like that. Like never going to lift an SUV on my own. So it's just going to come down to like me finding a path that kind of accepts my own vulnerabilities. And as a man, that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of hard shit to deal with, I guess. And you brought up like women's, as Dennis Prager would say, menstruation issues. He says it all funny. But like when you bring up that shit too, even the acknowledgement of those issues is still like a sort of taboo topic. And it's not made any better by modern feminism, I don't think. But when it comes down to women's studies and just understanding like hormone balances and the connection between diet and just female hormones and what it's done to like an entire, I mean, generations of people now, because you figure like if after so many successions of generations passing along like the same type of diet and the results of that genetic outcome, mm-hmm. I would only assume like we have reshaped entirely in the past 50 to 60 years, at least post World War II, right? Of like how people even look physically. Like we look different, we grow different, we're bigger, we're taller. Like there's mm-hmm. there's so much that's changed about us, and it really stinks of like the eugenics movement that Yona and I talked about last night, like of just like creating a genocide, like what you're creating, because now we're all expected to be asexual blob people, like in fucking WALL-E.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you have a rainbow like unicorn mohawk, it's that you're 300 pounds and can't breathe and couldn't do a push-up if you had to, like, and you were born a female, like, you know, like that is perfectly and healthy and okay.
Oh yeah.
And
that's perfectly normal.
And industries will put you on the cover. Like you'll make the box cover of fucking Wheaties now. Like right. they'll throw out an Olympic gymnast or something like that. It's possibly been diddled and overlooked by the FBI to like, you know, put somebody like that on the Wheaties box to push their ideology, because it all ties into that corporatist platform that just everywhere you look, it's on your Fruit Loops, and it's on your it's on your television. It's in podcasting. It's everywhere. Like the social justice bullshit, everything like that permeates everything nowadays. So you can't escape that either. And that's why I think that there's such a division too. Like when you get into like alternative media nowadays, I know that like back in COVID, there were people like Chris Sky, Ian Smith. Like there were people that kind of crossed over between like the fitness sort of mindsets that are out there about self-empowerment and self-ownership, those types of things, and blending it in with sort of like the alternative media or conspiracy, you know, type of programming. So now there's been crossovers there, but I haven't seen anyone really do a good fitness vlog that kind of talks about these sort of alternative topics and mixes them with, you know, healthy diet and exercise tips and other things like that. So just plant the seed that I'd love to see somebody do that. But for yourself though, like, did you have any like sort of creators or authors or people that you saw like sort of what they were doing or what they were suggesting and be like, oh shit, bet I'll try that? Because a lot of it's self-experimentation, right? To like figuring out what the fuck actually works, because there's so many diet tips and ways to do this out there too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. A lot of, self-experimentation, and because everything, you know, the different things are going to work for different people. And some people thrive on certain diets and other people thrive, you know, different ways of eating and stuff. But as I was going through, you know, as I was making changes and stuff, one person that really inspired me, his main platform is Instagram, but he goes by Johnny Juicer on there. His name's Johnny. And he really inspired me to get into juicing because, you know, I had made smoothies before and I knew about, you know, drinking smoothies and stuff, but I didn't really realize how powerful like juicing was. And like, he actually inspired me to buy a juicer back in college and get into that and a lot of like raw foods. And that's what really, I think, helped. Well, I know it helped with my skin and just helped heal myself. So he was a big inspiration for me. There were just some other people that, you know, just health podcasts out there, like Sean Stevenson has a podcast called The Model Health Show. And I still to this day listen to his show pretty frequently, but he was a big one that he doesn't talk just about food, but he talks about just overall health and wellness, a lot about fitness and moving the body and how important that is. And there's definitely been a lot of people throughout the years that have inspired me to make these changes.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that you gave a shout out to another podcast, because I've actually I don't think I've ever listened to that. So I'm going to have to check it out. Yeah, that sounds intriguing. I mean, you said that overall health. So like when you think about like some of the effects that say like sugar had on you, for instance, like I've noticed that it makes me pass the fuck out. Like now that I like try and stay away from a lot of processed sugars, that when I do dip into that nasty shit, then I immediately like it's
knocked out.
Oh yeah. And it's so crazy because like you, we were talking about before, when you're young, like you don't, you sort of just go along, you know, with whatever, like you're just eating chicken fingers and like fucking shit with food dye, like all up in it.
Oh yeah.
And like all this stuff, and just like you really didn't notice it as much, but then maybe like I don't know if it's the experience or if it's just getting older, but then you start to actually do feel like the effects of the food that you're eating.
Yeah.
And especially if you do the removal types of diets where like you do take the sugar out for a while and then like,
and then boom, you bring like, it back in, you really notice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think like, just like, well shit, if I had eaten better whenever I was a kid,
right,
maybe I'd actually been able to pay attention long enough to do well in school and not almost get kicked out all the fucking time. Because I was a spastic child.
Yeah.
I would cause any type of disruption. Like it would just be like anything that was anything but the quiet in the room and the studying and the head down and the attention to something, like anything that wasn't that, I'm all about it. And probably still am. So I don't know if it was just the foods, but yeah, I mean, I've noticed too, like I have friends that are parents and they've done those removal diets where they've taken the kids off the food dyes. Mm-hmm. And then they have a day where like the kid goes to grandma and grandpa's and they don't understand that shit because they were raised in the age, well, why would they put it on the store shelf if it was poison?
It's not safe. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, give the kid a fruit roll up. And then meanwhile, the kid's just like,
he's flying off the walls, going crazy. Yeah.
Motherfucking everybody, you know, like just getting in all kinds of trouble. And just, but it's real though. Like I've seen, and of course, like that's anecdotal, it's observational, that type of science. But what I was talking about in the monologue is that when it comes to like hard science on that shit, like so much, like, you know, speaking of like COVID and stuff like that, like so many people still to this day are like balls deep in the studies about COVID and everything else around the vaccines and things of that nature. But like, where are the people at that are doing like deep studies about what sugar, food dyes, and shit like that really does to people on a scientific level, like a clinical level?
Yeah.
Because like you and I can like be like, oh yeah, well, I mean, if I eat a bunch of ice cream, it makes me sleepy and groggy and tired and shit like that. We can record those in a journal. We can all compare notes. But like, I want to know, like, I want to be able to see a chemical breakdown. I want to know and understand how that moves,
what it does in the body. Yeah.
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 And my thing is that I know so much, but I do know enough, like from my observations of how science has sort of worked in Western culture, at least, is that, well, it's fully owned by the big corporations. So I don't expect like the universities or these big corporations or the government or anybody else that's really an entity in the greater hierarchy of our culture to produce for us that proof. Like they have no need or want to go in that direction because it might actually collapse an entire industry. Like to take away, like imagine if they just, I mean, this was a big thing in New York a little while ago with, I think it was Michael Bloomberg was trying to outlaw sodas that were like too big. Like they didn't want to have like the bladder buster anymore or something from the local AMPM. So now you have to be limited. And then people, of course, like on the conservative side, were like arguing, I should be able to, this is America. If I want an entire fucking bucket of Mountain Dew, serve it up, bitch. Like, you know, I'm willing to pay for it. I got currency. You got Mountain Dew. Let's make this fucking happen. But I get that to an extent of why somebody that would want to sort of look out for their own people would probably not want that.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, like where does that end though? Like how much can they regulate what you eat down to the point where just like they're kind of funneling you into a way where you're only allowed to eat the things that are produced by mass marketed and sort of conglomerated and future based whenever it comes to like how they bet on it, like just something that's in the market where it can be manipulated and controlled.
Yeah, which is what they're trying to do. I mean, with, you know, shutting down small farmers and, you know, burning all these food plants and stuff.
100%. 100%.
Bill Gates buying up all the farmland. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking about this with Yona last night too on the Peasants podcast. I would hate to see a future filled with Bill Gates vegans. Just a mad. I mean, just like, cause like that's what that motherfucker's doing. Like buying up all of this land, him and the Chinese and other conglomerates too, you know, just buying up all of this farmland. Well, that's an immense amount of power that gives somebody because, well, mm-hmm. if you can, you know, control a food market.
Yeah, that's control everything. But like, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And just like, even if you're not down with it, like where are you going to eat? Like, it's just if people can't get their stuff like with an interpersonal exchange anymore through cash, like imagine in a world that's run with CBDC, for instance, you can't go to the farmer's market unless the farmer's market's sanctioned now. Like that's not something you can't exchange currency with somebody because that's not authorized. Like that's a scary future. Yeah. Like, and even if it is something that's paternal and good natured, because that's how it's going to be marketed. Like we don't want people like their limbs fucking falling off because they're drinking buckets of Mountain Dew. Like nobody really wants that. And I don't care how libertarian or conservative or capitalist that you think you are. Like, I don't think anybody would be like, yeah, I'm totally cool with that.
Right.
Let that dude, you know, drink Mountain Dew until his legs fall off. Like I feel for people that are in that position. Like you go out to the grocery store and you see someone like in the aisle and like they're in that, you know, motorized cart, the battery powered one that they charge up at the start of the grocery store. Like I've had to sit in that thing because my back was broken. Like I've had to do that. I always thought it would be cool to ride in it as a kid. It ain't shit when you're in a tall horse. It's kind of embarrassing.
I know. I remember wanting to ride those as a kid too.
Oh yeah. But then you see the people that obviously cannot walk around that store because they are too large to make it from the end that they came in at to go over to get their like supersized case of Mountain Dew, right? that you see them on that journey, you see them put it in the cart and you just want to turn them and be like, what the fuck are you doing with
yourself? And they usually nowadays, I mean, here in Oregon, I still see, you know, they have a mask on too.
Oh yeah, they have a mask on for their health and
carts
then,
full of soda and, you know, chips and
oh yeah,
it's and sad the, it's sad. Yeah,
and then to piss off the conservatives, then they're sliding their EBT card for it. You know what I mean? Because that's covered.
Yeah,
you know, like good shit. No, you can't have that, but you can have all this bullshit.
Yeah, get all the candy and the soda you want. We don't care.
Oh, yeah. And then, well, and it starts within the schools, too. If it's not like the home, like if you grew up in a somewhat healthy home, like you were lucky to have that, but then you go to school. And
the school food is trash.
Fucking school lunches, man. Oh,
yeah.
God. I remember that shit. What was your favorite out of the bullshit school lunches that you were given? Like if there was one day out of the week that you were just like, okay, thank God it's that day.
Oh, for some reason, I really liked their, I remember their like grilled cheese and tomato soup they had. For some reason, looking back now, it was disgusting. But
no
wonder
you got GERD. That shit probably ate the lining of your esophagus, that fucking tomato acid.
Yeah, they probably used a Kraft Singles as the as the cheese, which is what I was eating at home too. So I got like double exposure to that shit.
Oh yeah, people don't know if you've never had like the individual wrapped Kraft singles,
and like they're plastic.
Yeah, and that gelatinous cheese substance. Because like if you've been to like a legit farmer's like market or like to a Whole Foods or some place like that where they have like the farmer's style cheeses, real cheese doesn't look or taste or smell or feel nothing like that. It's not even close. To the same time,
I don't even think it says cheese on the product. I think, or on the package, I think it just says like cheese-like product or something like that.
They
can't even call it real cheese.
They probably can't. They probably got sued because like they have to, like if they make a claim And that is the one thing that's kind of crazy about the supplement industry, is that, you know, a lot of labeling and a lot of claims and a lot of advertisements and stuff like that can be made. But whenever it's like a product, like a Kraft Singles, it does seem, you know, for argument's sake, that those industries can tend to get sued a lot more. Because they can't make such false claims. It gets harder because it's such an unregulated industry. Like when you're stepping into alternative, any type of medicines, like when you're talking about herbs and things, I've heard horror stories about shipped over in bottles where it was like a fucking Chinese house plant and not like ginseng and like shit like that. Just like crazy things. There was a great documentary too, because I love documentaries, guys. It was a Bigger, Stronger, Faster. It was by Mark Bell, who's done other great documentaries too. Another one he did called Prescription Thugs was really fucking cool. But the idea was that, you know, he was going to do a test where he would just make his own supplements, like in his kitchen, you know, completely unregulated as far as like getting the proper doses, measurements, mixtures of things. Like there's a lot of crazy shit out there. So like I had friends that were part of like amateur bodybuilding, you know, types of things, and they could not take certain brands that you could walk into any type of, you know, fitness and health store and probably buy them off a Walmart shelf, but you know, they could not take that shit because it had trace amounts of things in it, or the labeling itself was a fucking lie and you would get popped on your drug test. Like, so there's a lot of fuckery that exists out there. And it's not that, you know, I'm against like having an open and free market. And it's not that government or state regulation of those markets solves for those problems, but it is difficult to navigate like what brands to try, what to go with, like what to trust. And then also there's a lot of money that goes into that shit too. There's a lot of money that goes into that stuff. People spend mad money on that per month.
Like the supplement industry is like, that's difficult to, you know what you're getting and the actual quality of what you're getting for supplements, because you really don't know. Like there are some good, you know, good ones out there, but for the most part, most of them are pretty bad quality, I would say.
Well, yeah, that's where it leads into like getting good consumer advocates. You know, people that are willing to look into, you know, the products and the claims that are made by them and things like that, and actually figuring them out. Like, that's really what it comes out to. Cause like, I don't think we can trust institutions to put the rubber stamp on something. Like the CDC comes out with something and tells us it's okay. That doesn't necessarily mean it is, folks. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, when like the appeal to an authority there, like it really does, you know, come down to stuff that you could try on yourself. And that's why like the lower impact and more discipline based types of changes and adjustments in your diet and your intake and your exercise regimen and all those types of things, stuff that's sustainable, I think is the biggest key. Because like stuff that's of lower impact, like if you take it and it doesn't really do anything for you, then there wasn't a whole lot of harm there. Maybe you wasted, you know, a couple bucks on the bottle of whatever the fuck it was. But,
right,
you know, the stuff like those prescription medications and shit that they wanted to put you on back in the day. Like if you would have taken the gamble on some of that stuff, I know people personally that have that GERD stuff real bad. And, you know, the medications that they put people on, that they're known to cause cancer.
Yeah. Well, the acid reflux one, I actually, in high school, I was on, it got so bad because I was on that for some prescription for antacids for that for a couple of years. And then as soon as I started changing my diet, I didn't need them anymore. But yeah, I'm glad I didn't take, you know, the other, like the really strong antibiotic or the birth control, especially because that's, you know, that has so many bad side effects. And so many women, unfortunately, are put on it at such a young age and messes with their hormones and everything.
Yeah, well, I'm getting word from the audience here, Shelly, you know, just about like what it's like to go shopping these days and what you're getting too. Like that's another thing when it comes to food choice. You know, when it comes down to cost, and especially with you know, health and other things like that. I see the reason why a lot of our people that are less financially well off are overweight. Like in other countries, like this is another talking point you hear in politics all the time. Like, oh, you go overseas, like, you know, you go to Africa, their poor people are skinny because they're dying of starvation or something like that. But our less fortunate people, you know, when it comes to finances, are often overweight because like the processed foods that's been given to people like that. And I've watched documentaries too about Native American, Indian, whatever they want to be called, you know, First Nation, you know, and what, you know, I've watched documentaries about the reservations. I don't know what to call anybody anymore. and just like the, not only just the impact of alcohol, but the impact of fried bread and that Kraft Singles, like Velveeta cheese that we were talking about. Like the impact of that shit on people's health, like the rate of diabetes, the rate of heart disease, the amount of just of people that die young.
Yeah, it's getting worse and worse. I mean, it's really sad. Like, it's not, you know, it's so normalized in our society as, you know, being overweight and having these health issues, especially people just think, oh, as you get older, it's just, you know, it's just inevitable. You're going to get diabetes or arthritis or, you know, high blood pressure or whatever. It's so normalized, but it's really because of how we're living our, you know, not just diet, but our whole lifestyle. And we're not moving enough. We're not getting out in nature enough. We're not, you know, we're too stressed out in the ways we're, the unnatural ways we're living, and just such a high stress environment that we're in.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing too, that sort of came out, I'm going to say about 20 years ago or so, the idea of the impact of cortisol, the stress hormone, on weight loss. Mm-hmm. Like, because there was a bunch of supplements that came out around the time, and I was paying attention to shit like that. I don't think I ever took anything that was like that much of a cortisol regulator, other than I think VPX used to make these like red lines, and they did one called Redline Princess, because it had mood enhancing stuff in it. So they marketed towards women. How sexist of them, right? And it came in a little pink bottle. So, but I'm comfortable with my sexuality, so I didn't mind the pink bottle. There was no estrogen inducing types of, I know the audience is like, yeah, fuck it, right? But there was no estrogen inducing types of things in this. But it did like kind of like, it had 5-HTP in it, 5-hydroxytryptophan. And that shit kind of mellows you out. Like it's not like smoking or anything. It's nothing mm-hmm. like that. But it did kind of like have
kind of relaxes effect. You.
Yeah. And I can and also like too, if you think about, you know, the cultures in which people live like long and happier lives, like usually like seaborne cultures, because they're close to the ocean, there's tons of nutrients and proteins and other mm-hmm. things like that in the ocean. But then also people that live in high altitudes, like monks that live like in the mountains and shit like that, like those types of people, they live to be like over 100. Like, yeah. And it's ridiculous. And their lives are simple. They're fucking mm-hmm. happy. Like they're not worried about answering emails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're out in nature. They're grounding their feet and getting sun and fresh air and
dirt under their fingernails, shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the stuff that we've been, all the stuff that we've been lured away from.
Yeah.
Because we're told that it's inconvenient, and it, mm-hmm. and really it's inconvenient because it's not as productive for commercial lifestyles. Like when you live to serve a corporation, when you live to pay bills, when you live to pay a fucking mortgage company or whatever it is to, you know, to get by, you know, paying your car payments and all the other bullshit, and God help you if you have fucking student loans. You know, when you're living that lifestyle, like you can't just take 8 hours out of your fucking day to go milk goats and plant seeds and all that other shit. Like I get it. And especially like if you live in the middle of a city,
right?
Like some of our friends.
Yeah.
Do.
You're stuck in traffic all day and you're just working your life away. It's not, you know, you're not connected with nature. That's for sure.
And then if you want to help out the local food co-op or something like that, or, you know, garden, then you have AOC show up or something like that, and like ruin the whole fucking deal and try and co-op it. you know, so it's hard to even get in with people that, you know, where you can start to reverse that, that kind of trend. You know, I've had a friend of ours on TMP a couple of times. His name is Vince Agnoli, Jr. And he, wrote the book, The Public Wheel in You. And one of his conversations that he had with Billy Ray Valentine, who lives in New York City, was of how urban people could get a food collective together sort of offsite. So you organize it so you do have like some sort of food storage and food production abilities as a group, voluntarily, of course, you know, where you all gather and you combine resources for those things. And then you entrust certain entities to rather store them or, you know, help grow them with you. And just, I can see where that can benefit a lot of people. And, you know, it's one thing that where, you know, if you want to know where your food comes from, you don't necessarily have to grow it yourself. There can be industrious ways in which that can occur that are a bit more ethical. But then the problem there is that how do you get there through regulation, though? Like, that's the biggest hurdle right now. It's the state. You know, it's impossible to even give food to people. Like, what it takes to start a food bank, probably, or what it takes to start some sort of charity that allows you to give food. Like, I know that out on the West Coast, like, particularly, I heard that was California that was having trouble because of dumpster diving and people getting, you know, food from places and just like there were businesses that wanted to give food away, but they couldn't by law. Like, if you had a bunch of hot dogs on a roller at a gas station and you're going to throw those things away, like, you can't give them to the bum outside or something like that. Like, there's something wrong there's something wrong in the system. I was going to say where you force that business to pay all these taxes, right? But you can't, you're going to force them out of law to waste when it can go towards some type of direct public good in itself. So
I've never understood that. Like, it's literally going in the trash, but you can't give it to, you know, homeless people or people that are starving. Like,
Well, and people argue, well, that would incentivize it. Okay. Like, what are you incentivize living?
Like, right. What's like, the God alternative? Forbid, like, geez.
Yeah. What's the alternative? Starving to you for an evening. You know, that's where I get like certain things where like, there are more communal solutions when it comes to that. You know, I struggle with it because like, I want to root for, I'm still like kind of, it grew up in that age where you have to sort of root for a side, and it's difficult because my side is, well, anarchism and not wanting a side of representation. But, you know, the people like me would probably lean towards wanting some sort of this individualist movement. Whenever it comes to growing food and other things, but like, it takes so fucking much. It's such an undertaking. Like, it begs for some sort of organization or some type of system. It just has to be an ethical one, I think. Like, I am completely down with ethical farming of all natures, like protein based or not. I hate the fact that we litter our foods with pesticides that cause cancers. So we should probably not do that. You know, the genetic modification of things has been happening since, I think I brought up Gregor Mendel the other night or something like that. I mean, we've been fucking with stuff, you know, genetically, but like we don't know from long-term studies, at least I don't think till this day, what that does. Like, just seeing something like on a bag of, like, I think it was Tostitos corn chips, they have to put a warning on it now that says that this is a genetically engineered product.
Yeah, it's bioengineered.
Bioengineered product. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like, what does that mean? Okay, like, what is that going to do to me? Like,
where was the long term study on that deal? Like, how did they get that approved through all of our, you know, beautiful and wonderful regulations that it would probably prevent you and I from starting any type of, you know, good business, but, you know, keep these assholes in float. But I know that there's people out there that have asked these questions, that have brought these types of topics even into the courts for record, you know, people like Derek Bros. Shout out to Derek Bros for, you know, talking about things like 5G and fluoride, you know, all this conspiracy kook type of fucking things that are, you know, now, and chemtrails as well, that's coming out. You know, we're just like, now they're admitting all these things. And then we have another admittance too, something I almost completely forgot to bring up, was this little article that I'm going to pull up here about Chris Cuomo, that now it's okay, I guess, that if you're Chris Cuomo or somebody like that, it's okay to talk about vaccine injuries too. I mean, of all the lies that people have been told over the past, you know, several years, I mean, that's kind of a whopper, I guess. I mean, if now that it's okay to talk about it, I mean, where are they going to go with the liability though?
Right.
Because I think that was pretty much sworn off at the jump. Like whenever they first started doing this Operation Warp Speed, they had to give people like immunity or else they couldn't get away with the plan. So I don't see what's going to come of this. Not, and it's also kind of a slap in the face to bring up that old gem too, a 9/11 style commission on it. So first off, what the hell did the first 9/11 style commission actually do?
Yeah, what?
So like, not a great example here.
No,
at all, Chris. But then also, I've seen videos of Chris like trying to be that like gym, you know, wannabe gym rat. Like I'm gonna impress you because I'm sitting here at my desk doing curls. Like,
oh God.
My initial reaction to him like complaining about a vaccine injury, and not to make fun of people that have been vaccine injured, but to make fun of him because he's an asshole. that I originally thought it was a bad batch of Tren that he may have come upon or something like that. But yeah, either way, this article by our friend Ken Silva over at Headline USA says former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, who is one of the country's leading coronavirus propagandists in 2020, now says he's been injured by the COVID-19 vaccine. Now it says Cuomo, now a host for News Nation, revealed his alleged injury during a segment discussing a New York Times article about the COVID-19 vaccine. And according to that article, more than 13,000 vaccine injury compensation claims have been filed with the federal government as of April, and it says to little avail. Now, imagine our shock there. And it says here, in quotes, only 19% have been reviewed, and only 47 of those were deemed eligible for compensation.
Oh,
only 47 people eligible for compensation.
Out of the 19% of the 13,000.
Oh, yeah. And if this was like a Price is Right of payouts, like, would you have guessed anywhere in the vicinity of $3,600?
No.
$3,600 is...
What is that going to do?
That's like getting your transmission replaced. That's not a fucking payout for ruining your body and your
health. Oh, you almost died from this shot? Here's $3,600. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry we had to sew your head back together.
Sorry you can't move.
Brain almost exploded.
Sorry you had a blood clot in your brain. Like,
here's $3,600.
Jeez.
There are Nikes that are more expensive than that. That shouldn't be a thing. Like, at least set it to where, like, the most expensive pair of Jordans is. Like, on the payout. Can we get an appropriate scale here? So at least if you got your booster, you can get a nice pair of shoes in the future. Okay.
Oh God.
Holy shit. Now it says, reacting to that article, Cuomo interviewed Sean Barkovich, a New York nurse who was allegedly injured by the vaccine himself. So there's a little clip there that you all can go check out. But it says during the interview, and this will be on this week's source list, so go check that out on Substack. But during the interview, Barkovich told Cuomo about how he felt tingling in his face after taking the first vaccine dose. And against his better judgment, he took a second dose.
Jeez.
Now talk about like, and this is the type of indoctrination we're talking about in all fields of diet and health, though. Like people that just, they bought the bullshit. So even if they got hurt by it the first time, they're like,
I still got to stick with it.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just imagining it. You know, maybe it won't be as bad. Head. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just that was my body's like, I'm just getting used to it.
Oh, that means it's working. That means it's working.
That means it's, yeah, absolutely. It's burning in my face because it's working. You know, so, and it says, as a research nurse practitioner, now talk, I mean, you can only imagine the the level of indoctrination that goes into serving in the medical community, though. Because I do, like, I feel for a lot of the people, because, like, we had Zoe Smith on. Shout out to Zoe. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago. I definitely got to check out her interview with Ryan Christian of Last American Vagabond. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But, like, the people that worked in that medical system that were expected to show up every day and wear 17 layers of fucking PPE and take every shot that was offered to them, or else their entire careers were going to go away. I do feel for them, because, like, people spent most of their lives and not a small fucking fortune on that education either to get into those positions.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it's a hard thing. And especially when you've been indoctrinated to believe that everybody that doubts the vaccines that are being given to children, or doubts the vaccines that were being called vaccines during the fucking quote unquote pandemic, that all of that shit was just a-okay because it went through the system and the system's working fine.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, what kind of person works in a system and puts in, like, good effort that doesn't have that blind faith or belief too? Like, you want people that are sort of indoctrinated to work for you. And if you're doing good, like, in that way, like, that system breeds those types of people.
Oh,
you don't
sure.
want a bunch of people questioning everything at their job and how the processes work and stuff like that. It holds up production.
No, they just want them to take orders and follow along and don't question anything.
And to keep costs low, of course, you know, for all these wonderful organizations that operate the medical facilities, you know, who are most likely, I mean, most likely, they were definitely fucking paid to put people through a process that, I'm going to say, I mean, led to a lot of deaths that should not have occurred. I don't know what you call that. If you call it, like, gross negligence, or if you call it, like, an attempted genocide, you know, or whatever it is. But they definitely did shit with the ventilators and the remdesivir that was part of protocols that, I mean, an objective and informed population within that industry probably would have rejected that shit.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. Brainwashed, scared, and desperate people that are barely clinging to any type of, like, middle class lifestyle. No, they're going to go right along with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the banality of evil. That's the shit that really hits me. Like, when I think of that time in our lives, like, from a few years ago until now, is just, like, all the subservience and just, like, the automatic labeling of anyone else as dangerous or a conspiracy theorist or someone that's a kook or a quack, even, you know, they've done investigations on people. Here Yona kills it. Bieberface means it's working. Yes.
Jeez, I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Yeah.
And his wife too had, like, I think she had a blood clot or something in her brain, and, like, yeah, that's normal.
I mean, Amanda, I've had people not just contact me, you know, on the show here about their injuries, but I have people in my personal life that I know that have been through some really weird shit since taking those shots. And, you know, a lot of it, when you mentioned, like, the menstruation, as Dennis Prager would say, like, problems with that kind of shit,
yeah.
Problems with, you know, just getting hives all over their fucking body. You know, even I have one of my close personal friends too, knew a guy that lost his wife, and, you know, it's attribution is really difficult without any type of forensic investigation. And as far as that type of investigation during that pandemic, they rolled a lot of that shit under the rug. They were able to hide a lot of that stuff from people because of the restrictions on being able to access your family members, getting certain services ordered, and anything from autopsies to lab samples to even getting something in a working lab. Like, they were able to hide so much of the evidence of what was happening to people because of the emergency.
Right.
And I mean, in the future, they're talking about, I mean, we've had James Roguski on that's warned us about the new WHO mandates that could be put, or whatever that they're going to be putting into place. Gearing up for another pandemic if they do a sequel, you know, to 2020. I mean, what I've learned over these past few years, you know, is just like the mainstream was able to bank on something that people overwhelmingly believed in, that they were able to gauge by having all of the data from our social media accounts, to how they control, like how actors and influencers responded to those things. They paid these people. Like mm-hmm. the ad council literally paid people to go out and push all of the bullshit during COVID. People are still believing in it. Like it's hard to see that people still believe that, you know, the masks work. They're still out standing in the grocery store wearing one. Like you.
Oh,
like
I see it every day. Yeah. Every day here, even people walking outside alone, driving in their cars alone at the grocery store, like every day.
But that means that like the solution to this probably cannot be democratic. It's not like we can vote or do anything in the collective political sense like that, where you have enough people or collective power in order to change these sort of things. Like it's going to come down to us building a parallel system, I think. Mm-hmm. And getting people into a stage where they can grow their own food and having that growing possibly being industrialized in a way, like having grow kits and grow centers around areas where healthy food can be produced and supplied to people. I think that, you know, people that are fortunate enough to live away from these cities and have their own property or land are probably in the best possible place, because you can build up an infrastructure around yourself. You can utilize things like water and other resources and wind and solar. Like there is an avenue for that too. I think that the future, if there can be a future in volunteerism and a form of agorism that way, where we can utilize modern technology in order to make it easier to produce all these things for ourselves outside of a centralized authority, I think that'd be fantastic. But I'm also of that, you know, generation where, yeah, we're not in the flying cars Jetsons stage of life either. So I don't see that necessarily happening anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But we could build towards it. Like I am really optimistic of what humans could be like. And especially with given the proper food and diet. Like if you do believe that we do alter and change genetically, and that the effects of our diet, especially over generations, can alter people, like I think we could actually make better humans out of it too by making these changes.
Yeah.
Like where do you see a future as far as like what people can do if they got healthy? Like how do you see that ripple effect happening in people's lives?
Yeah, I mean, it's I like to believe that, you know, we're moving towards, you know, more people. I think 2020 really woke up a lot of people, and, you know, more and more people are starting to question, like, you know, big pharma and the food that they're eating and these big corporations and stuff. And so I'm hopeful, and I try to be optimistic as well, that, you know, more and more people just start to do what they can to become healthier versions of themselves, and to, you know, encourage their circle of friends and family and raise their kids in a way to be more self-sustainable and more, you know, empowered to just know that, you know, you are powerful, and you can take your health into your own hands, and you can, you know, come together. Like that community aspect is so important too. And like, I agree with what you said about, you know, the whole food situation. Like that would be ideal to have, you know, these small communities of, you know, locally grown, everyone getting their food local and knowing exactly where their food's coming from. And so that's ideally what, you know, what I see. And yeah, I mean, And that's where, you know, taking care of your health is really where it starts. Because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And like, so that's really where it starts as far as bettering, you know, society as a whole. Like everyone has to look at themselves first and focus on what they can do for themselves. And then, because that ripples out and affects everything else in your life and how you, you know, can help others in your life and then ultimately your community. And it just, it's like a ripple effect from there. So that's why, you know, I try to empower people as much as I can to make these changes towards a healthier lifestyle, because it really does start with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if all rights are solely individual rights, then you and your abilities to maintain and discipline yourself and act as an individual, like that is the most control that you will ever have in your life. Mm-hmm. Like there's all the other problems of the world and problems of your personal life, everyone listening out there, like there's really nothing else that you really truly have control over besides your body. Mm-hmm. And how that and how that stuff affects your mind too. Like I know like for people that are on poor diets and that stuff affecting hormone regulation and just like it affecting your mood, but then also like something that Yonah brought up kind of jokingly, but I don't think he's that off when, and in fact he's probably dead on because he does that. Is that, you know, when it comes to even breeding, right? Like sexual attraction. Things of that nature, like even being like someone that finds other people attractive, like you can sort of desexualize a species, mm-hmm. like through poisonous, like the microplastics, as people brought up in the chat there, you know, just like all the soy and the other types of estrogen producing types of things that are in diets, the food dyes. You know, fucking with your ability to concentrate. I mean, it just leads to people just living not just a miserable life where they don't feel good, but people aren't even producing more people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the infertility thing is huge. Like not just because of, you know, the shots and stuff, but the food. And even before all that, like it's decreasing and, you know, more and more young people are becoming infertile and, you know, it's, in big part, I would say, due to the food and the ultra processed crap that everyone's eating. And I mean, it really disrupts our hormones. And yeah, which I think is, you know, part of it just ties into the whole, you know, agenda. And it's part of the whole transhumanism thing, in my opinion.
Well, and it really goes back to the type of philosophy that a lot of these people espoused. I mean, it really, if you look at how they managed the birth of nations, how they managed changes of currency and hegemony of the globe, then of course they would be intertwined in food, because food and water is everything. Like without that, like without the control of those resources and our access to them, like we really have nothing. Like there's no resistance to anything if the system owns your food and your water. Like you're not getting far. Yeah. That's why statements like I pulled up this little article too, because I thought this was fucking hilarious. I'm gonna put it on the screen share, but this one I didn't send to you earlier, so, but I found it quite funny. Apparently, Maxine Waters, who's just fucking, just never ending material with her. She is a gold mine of bullshit politics. But it says Maxine Waters claims Trump supporters are training in the hills to attack if Trump loses. I don't know about you folks, but I mean. Go to the Trump waving peoples. Are they really training in the hills? Like these guys, they couldn't run up a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
Like I'm not
the most Yeah.
I'm not worried about these motherfuckers. Like, oh, if anything, they're just a bunch of boomers just, you know, whacking off in the woods and drinking some light beers. Like, I'm not fucking worried about these creeps. If they even exist, like, what? Like, right? I don't know how somebody in a position of power can just create, like, a claim like this. That really,
I know. I was just gonna say, how do you make this claim? And how do you back this up? Like, what?
Like, in the hills of where? Like, yeah, there's a really secret. I mean, you live in
the Oregon, secret location of all these Trumpers that are just,
yeah, the secret training. Oregon Hill Trumpers that yeah. are out there plotting and training.
Oh my god, that's funny.
They couldn't get through one fucking CrossFit class, not one. I mean, oh, but yeah, this is she went on, says the claim this week that former President Donald Trump supporters were training in the hills somewhere to attack
disclose location,
but the attack who knows either yeah. could attack anywhere, so be vigilant, folks. If Trump loses in November, and then she said during the MSNBC of course interview,
oh,
that she planned to ask the Biden administration to take preemptive action.
Oh god.
To prevent this thing that she completely made up. This is where the protective stuff comes in.
Right wing violence.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The right wing violence too. But like, there are like it, so there is a crossover like that I've seen like in certain like conservative creator channels and stuff with like the fitness and wellness type of stuff too, where they get into charging people to come and be part of little boot camps. Like even Luke Rutkowski has his own little like preparedness types of courses that I believe that you could sign up for and stuff like that. I've seen people do that shit. And of course, the most famous being of the Alex Jones, all of his product commercial stuff that he does too with his shows. But yeah, I don't want to knock anybody's hustle out there. But you know, when it comes to like the training and getting people to train in groups, like that's a cool thing. But then like the labeling that happens after that, to be able to label it right wing or whatever, like,
yeah, what?
Like, so we're going to go to like yoga classes in the city and call it all like left wing training camps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like all these yoga moms, you know, and their Lululemon are getting together to fucking plot to, you know, all just
Biden supporters at their yoga class. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be out there slitting throats if Biden doesn't win and lose their shit, right? It's going to be like a second coming of the crazy curved sword people from the 300. Like, they're just going to be out there whacking people in the streets.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I fucking
so ridiculous.
The hysteria in media in itself, but like especially with politics, because it's so glaring and it's so stupid. Like, I'm glad that we could both laugh at it, you know. But you know, when it comes to like that type of health claims though, like, you think of people like Dr. Oz. I remember Dr. Oz pushing like fucking different magical things back in the day, like, and causing entire spikes though, like, yeah. And just so you couldn't even get shit, you couldn't even get like that juice or whatever the fuck he was talking about at the time or something like that. But you know, that's the other thing about it too, like the marketing towards that stuff. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen a documentary called Century of the Self. It's by a guy named Adam Curtis. It's so great because it talks about Edward Bernays, who's like the father of modern propaganda and mass marketing. And it talks about like how, you know, Bernays would go after like certain kind of instinctual things that most humans have. Like, you know, especially the number one to harp on is sex, because sex fucking sells no matter what. Like, even if you're on a lot of the soy, if you have feeling down there, sex still sells. And then also, like, you know, the other one's like self-preservation. So like, so for people to practice in self-preservation, like, you can simply tell them, you know, that this is good for you. You know, this will do this. This will add this. This will help you grow hair. It'll make you taller. Like, whatever. Like, you can make a bunch of fucking claims.
Oh yeah.
But you know, the real harsh reality is that whenever you take those things or invest in those things or whatever it is, and it doesn't pan out. So to maybe to wrap up the conversation, what do you think the one change or maybe thing that you started, you know, rather eating or staying away from, what do you think had the biggest effect, like noticeable effect for you?
Yeah, I would say probably just in general, just cutting out, as much as it's good to, you know, get in all the good stuff, but I think it's, you know, even more important or just as important to cut out the stuff that's doing the harm to you. So I think cutting out the, you know, the ultra processed foods and the refined sugars and that just highly processed stuff filled with chemicals, and is when I cut that out, I think that's what really, because that's what was, you know, essentially causing so much damage in my body. And so I think that's really what made such a huge difference. And then two, with, you know, the juicing and flooding my body with those nutrients, and that of course was huge too. But I think the biggest thing is just advocating for, you know, encouraging people to try as best they can to, you know, greatly minimize, if not like completely eliminate, like the consumption of the ultra processed foods. And I know it's not easy, especially if you've been doing it for so many years, because it's everywhere. I mean, it's cheap, it's convenient, it's addictive. But I think just start somewhere. If you like, if you're someone who drinks a lot of soda, maybe just try with that, cut out the soda first. And then like slowly, as you make these changes, like it does become easier, and your body will slowly start to adjust, and you'll start to crave healthier foods. And, you know, you will go through some withdrawals and some uncomfortable symptoms at first, but, you know, your body is a self-healing organism, and it wants to heal itself. And so when you give it the tools to do so, and you take out the stuff that's preventing it from healing, and that's when you know, it'll start working the way it's supposed to. And so that's one of the main things I would say, is just trying to cut out the ultra processed stuff.
Well, and also too, and I've been in relationships with women that have struggled with this, is that, you know, to take birth control or not because of certain conditions and other things. And, mm-hmm. you know, one person in my life that just swore it off because like of its effects on people, like the blood clots, all the different mental effects of it too. And just like to be able to make those adjustments so you don't have to do that. But then also the long-term effects, like we've been feeding women pills.
Yeah. They start taking it when they're, you know, a lot of girls start taking it at, you know, 14, 15 years old and are on it for, you know, 8 to 10 years, sometimes longer. And like, it has a lot of negative effects, and that you're not told that. You're not given, you know, informed consent when you're given these prescriptions at all. And you're not warned of the risks. You're just told, like when they offered it to me, they're like, oh yeah, it should help clear up your skin. And they didn't really say anything else about it. Like they just like gave it to me like it was nothing.
Yeah. It takes nothing to, that's what people don't understand. Yeah. Something that can have that much of an effect on the entire lifespan that you have. Can be decided by just the doctor going, oh yeah, this should help. Yeah, just take that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
We're not taught how to like, we just throw out birth control like that. And we're not taught to like track our cycles and actually learn about our bodies. And, you know, you can only really get, like, if you're actually taking birth control just because you don't want to get pregnant. I get there's women that take it because they feel it helps with other things. But I mean, we're not taught that you can only get pregnant like 5 or 6 days out of the month. Like, I mean, there's other ways to go about it than taking this pill for years on end. Like,
oh, that was a mind blower for me. Like, I literally, I was that dummy that we're just like, we didn't have that course in school. And as far as like whatever I can remember of school, I'm pretty sure it was like, it was never on, it wasn't in my notes. I'll put it to you that way. Like my other notes were like maybe from like my grandfather, especially, was if you can't be good, be careful. So I was that person was just like, if anything was ever like even close to being like a something where somebody could get pregnant, I would be like mortified. and like scared to shit. But then like I did have a nice young lady break it down to me one time that no, it's not like just one sperm can fall out of the condom and boom, somebody's pregnant. Like, no, it has right. to occur like during these certain times.
Yeah, during ovulation. Yeah. It's only a small part of yeah.
But I mean, but that fear though. That fear, and like mm-hmm. I think Nature Boy talked about it, like when he was like growing up in the 80s and stuff like that with AIDS like going on. Like I was affected by that too mentally, just like when I first started like getting involved with people, just like, well, shit, like am I gonna get AIDS? Am I gonna get AIDS right. from this interaction with somebody? Meanwhile, there was no fucking way. There was no way. Like the type of person, the interactions or whatever. Connections, like unless they had a blood transfusion that was bad, okay, like there was no way that was gonna happen, but I still had that fear instilled in me because of the mm-hmm. propaganda,
yeah,
because of the miseducation that I'd received in school just about that and how shit actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone yeah, they the don't... fact that go ahead
yeah. oh they yeah they just want us to be full of fear and not actually educated on, you know, our own bodies and what's actually the reality of things. They just want us to live in fear and, you know, take their pills or whatever.
Yeah. Oh no. And then, and well, that's the ultimate thing too. I mean, the racket of getting people into like the type of cycle where they are continuously sick and need things, or mm-hmm. even mentally making them think like the Munchausen shit. And that affects, I think, I mean, from what I've seen, and this isn't a bag on women, but I think that the Munchausen's affects a lot more women than men. I don't know what that means or anything like that, but you know, the fact that finding people, especially in my personal life, that are more like, it seems like they're constantly hurt or sick or something's wrong with them or something's bothering them, like a lot of them tend to be women, you know, just like if we've seen these effects. And I don't know if it's hard to tell if it's mental or if it's environmental or if it's other things, even like, you know, all the even shit that we don't see. Mm-hmm. People that are being affected by, you know, a tower next to their house, or people being affected by the sounds and frequencies from all the new light bulbs that we've had to buy in the past, you know, 10 to 15 years or so. Like just little things like that, even the effects of those things. And who the fuck tested the safety of those, mind you?
Right.
We're finding out it's the same damn process of, you know, oh yeah, this should help with that, you know, and coming from industry.
Yeah.
That you're trusting the guy that's selling you the product on his recommendation. That
telling
it's
you
good.
It's good for you. Yeah. The one that's making good. Profit off of it is okay. Yeah. That's who you yeah. should trust.
Yeah. It doesn't sound convoluted at all. No. No. Yeah. Totally fucking trustable. But so Amanda, I want to pull up, if I can, your Linktree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you still they banned me, those bastards.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, just giving you the heads up just in case you get an email one day because you associate with bad people like me and others. But yeah, this is if you guys want, this is in the description of the video. It's like the second line of the description. It's not going to take you to find it. It's getting late, brain's failing. But yes, it's not going to take you long to go check this out. There's also a recipe ebook. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. That's cool. I like shit like that because you can get really creative with these types of things. And that's why I think the other day I pointed you towards a guy I've watched on YouTube, Will Tennyson. And he's this Canadian. He's kind of a kooky guy, but I like some of the recipes that he puts together with things. So it's always good to find, like, I don't know, new and exciting things to try.
Yeah. I actually went and checked out his channel and I watched a couple of his videos, but, yeah, all my recipes in there are, I'm actually working on another ebook right now, recipe book that should be done by the end of this month. But that first one there, it's mainly like dessert based, but it is all refined sugar free. So, it's all sweetened with, things like dates and, you know, other fruits and like pure maple syrup and stuff like that. There's no refined sugar. It's all gluten free and dairy free and just like whole food plant based ingredients. And a lot of the recipes are, most of them are, I try to make very simple and just use very simple, clean ingredients and just things that are pretty accessible, just whole food things that most people have access to. And so yeah.
And if you could for me, what the hell's a Selagit?
Shilajit?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. I forgot that was in there. I used to be a like a they used to send me products to help promote it and stuff, but Shilajit's basically like a natural resin from comes from like the Himalayas or something. It's from the mountains. It's from basically it's supposed to be it's high in fulvic acid, and it's supposed to be really good for like detoxing the body and just so many things. Helps your hormones, gives you energy. It's completely natural from the earth. It does taste pretty bad. It tastes like burnt firewood or like charcoal kind of. It's like I got used to the taste, but the first time I had it, I was like, I had to like spit it out. It's not the best tasting, but it's I want to start taking it again. Actually, I was taking it pretty consistently, and I realized I had a lot more just because I work out first thing in the morning usually, and I'll do it fasted. And then when I was having that, I felt even more energized and just feel like I had more stamina during my workouts. And so yeah, Shilajit's, I know it's a weird word, but it's good stuff. Yeah.
Shilajit's the real shit, folks.
Yes.
But I was going to say, like, on that topic though, cause you brought up training fasted. I wholeheartedly agree. Like it was mind blowing to me cause I was always programmed. This is, again, this goes into a lot of the miseducation whenever it comes to stuff that you had to like fucking carb up before a workout. Like you had to get in like,
yeah.
You know, if it was like a heavy leg day, like you want to eat like a stack of potatoes or something like that before going to the gym. And like, I would always eat like a big breakfast, like maybe like four eggs or more and like a you know, big pile of toast or something like that. And then go to the gym and then just feel like shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. I was unmotivated. Like my body's like digesting, and then burping up eggs while you're doing exercises is not good. Not good. Especially when your friends are spotting you.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, I definitely prefer fasting. And I don't do like caffeine, or people are like surprised when they hear I don't take like pre-workout or anything, or I don't drink energy drinks or anything like that. So I just drink water and fast. And that's, yeah, I noticed, you know, if I have like an evening workout sometimes and I've already eaten, like I notice the difference for sure, like in my just energy and my, you know, how much I'm able to lift and stuff, how much energy I have.
And it definitely sets a tone for the day too. Like I used to lift late at night. That would be like the best time for my old schedule and everything. I have like a personal gym at home, and I'd go down there and just, you know, listen to a podcast or something like that. And get some reps in. But I don't know, for me, like the most consistent that I've been and probably like the best overall, like physically noticeable effects have been whenever I've been disciplined enough to get my ass out of bed
before
I have
part.
To go do other shit. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
Cause I have never, ever, ever in my life been a morning person. Like how I even did that, like the morning slot, that I did for about a year
on AM wake up. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't even know how the fuck I pulled that off. Cause I do imbibe quite a bit of caffeine. It's been better recently. It's like below 800 milligrams a day. So we're making progress, but yeah, I that's the one thing too, where not noticing how much the caffeine actually affects your heart rate while working out, how it affects your recovery in between sets and everything because of that too. Like just your breathing, because anything that I've done where I'm just like, yeah, I wake up, I'm slamming like the fucking pre-workout, and then I go do the workout and then I'm getting my ass kicked there. First off, like that caffeine has your heart rate going like a fucking hummingbird. So
yeah,
like that's why you can't like catch your breath and actually get through the sets or anything like that, or whatever the exercises are, like hot yoga, especially like, too much caffeine before that shit or too much food. Oh, hell no. Like,
yeah,
like grubbing out and then going and having to bend yourself in half where like your fat food baby is dangling into your face is
not a good
combination. Not only embarrassing, but yeah, it's hard to fucking breathe that way. So
yeah.
That's the whole purpose of it, is to breathe. So, yeah, I mean, the fasted for sure. But the lack of caffeine though, like that's one that, it took me a while to kind of pare it down, because like you get addicted to this shit. I have friends that were way, way worse. Like people that work certain night shifts where they're just like, they're constantly like, they come to work with like a giant like barrel of coffee.
Right.
And then add to that maybe throughout the evening, like that kind of stuff, like that type of abuse. So that ruins your endocrine system. Like your, mm-hmm. your body's ability to produce adrenaline.
Yeah, it really messes with your adrenals and your spikes are, yeah, spikes your cortisol and yeah.
And that has to affect your mood. Has to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can't get excited. Like, and not that way, you sick bastards. But like, even that though, maybe even that. Because I mean, yeah. just like your overall adrenaline, like if your adrenaline's flowing, I mean, it's gonna lead to a better experience, at least in my past experiences. So. I mean, it really, like the way that that stuff is marketed now too, like going into a gas station and seeing
it's everywhere. Yeah.
Wall of energy drinks there. Like we're on such a energy drink bender as a country. And I think it goes back into our lifestyles of just working more, you know, having
we're so tired and so,
well, and less time to spend on yourself too. So that's why that time, you know, and maybe to wrap up our conversation here, you know, speaking of time, is that time to yourself, Amanda, I think you'd probably agree with this. That time to yourself to dedicate towards your own, you know, maintenance and maybe even improvement. Mm-hmm. That's a sacred time during your day. Like what's typically on your mind during those things? Do you just sort of blank out and kind of just you're with the motion or the movement that you're in? Or are you concentrated on like certain things? I've even had people like describe that they think of the muscles moving and actually growing, like even the mental aspect of it, of thinking.
Yeah, about the whole mind muscle connection thing. I've tried to do that more, like when I learned about that, like really focusing on the muscle that you're working at the time, because I think it does help. At least I've heard it does with the whole mind muscle connection. But
maybe that's how you grew delts. Because you have shoulders and that's something that where like, especially like ladies that train, I noticed that that's an area in which mostly everybody lacks because nobody knows how to work them appropriately.
But yeah.
Especially rear delts. Rear delts is a bitch.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I just, you know, kind of zone out and just listen to music or a podcast or something. And, but it, like you said, that time to, you know, whether it's just whatever you have, like 30 minutes a day, an hour a day. It's better than nothing. Like there are days where I, you know, ideally would like to get a whole solid hour workout in, but some days I only have 30 minutes to get a quick workout in, but it's always better than nothing. And I always still like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, well, I only have like 30 minutes. What's the point? But I'll still go and I'll be like, well, that was better than nothing. And I still feel, you know, way better afterwards than I did before. And
oh yeah. You could do a HIIT workout in 30 minutes and be whooped.
Yeah.
You know, like any type of high intensity, like type of training like that, you can get some shit done in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, so I know a lot of people with working out, a lot of people say they don't have time and stuff. And I get like everyone's busy and it's, but I think everyone has, you know, at least even if it's 15, 20 minutes to do something, just move your body in some way. You know, movement is very important.
So I was just on your other Instagram and all of the cute puppy photos.
But oh, yeah, it's a bear.
Yeah.
My little buddy.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's making noise flying around on the carpet right now. Of course, he's scratching the carpet and making noise.
just so the audience can get a little bit of puppy cam, I'll put this one up there too. So for those of you that are on the Instagram, go check out amanda.sick there. And then you have a tasteful choice of Queen, You're My Best Friend there too for the for the vid. Look at him running in the ocean. Yeah.
Like, no, get me out of here.
Look at that face. Oh, we love animals here at TMP. Yeah. We are animal lovers, and that's awesome to see. That's another thing too that, you know, motivates people just to be in better shape. Like when you go out and you walk in with your animal or something like that, like that's something that really helped my dad out. My dad had a pretty bad heart attack a while back. And our family dog, you know, forcing him to get out of the house and walk around the neighborhood and move around and see people in the neighborhood and everything like that, that definitely kept them up and kept them alive, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so animals can teach us so much about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then also being responsible for an animal too, you learn what their diet does to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It teaches you, yeah, responsibility, and kind of forces you to take better care of yourself, at least in my case. Like, so I think, yeah, that's definitely true.
And they sense you too. Like, they sense your moods and like your, you know, your sort of like how you behave and act around them. So like, if you're like feeling like shit or something like that, cause you haven't taken care of yourself, I'm sure the animal is just like, ah, oh, look at this bitch over here.
Right.
All night.
Get up and take me on a walk. What are you doing?
Yeah. So, but Amanda, is there any takeaways that you would like the audience to have from this conversation before we finish up for the evening?
I would just say, you know, don't feel like you have to, if you're someone who, you know, wants to, you know, start eating better or start moving more or something, or just start taking better care of yourself, but you don't really know where to start, don't, try not to be overwhelmed and think like, you know, you're so far from where you want to be that there's, you know, you don't know what to do or there's no point or something, like, because it's never too late to make a change for the better. And you can always, like I said, making small changes here and there is really what's going to be the best way for most people. And so just start with one or two things that you think, you know, you can improve on and that you think are, you know, realistic for you to start with, and just go from there. Cause it's a ripple effect. When you start taking better care of yourself, you're going to feel mentally better, and that's going to, you know, make you want to just continue and just improve and get outside more, move your body more. The more you do it, the easier it'll be.
Yeah, that's awesome advice, Amanda. Thank you for that. Yeah. We do have a question for the audience about the dog. Is that a Shiba Inu or Corgi mix? Like, what?
Neither. It's a, he's a Pomeranian.
He is a Pom. Okay.
Yeah. He's a lot of people think he's a Shiba, yeah, Corgi, or yeah, the other one. He's kind of big for a Pom, but I don't know. I was told he's a purebred. I've had him since he was about 2 months old. He's just turned 13. So.
Oh man. 13.
Yeah. Yeah. He still acts very youthful though.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, give them loves and pets from the TMP crew. We are the lovers of the animals, and we love you animals out there listening to this shit. Thank you for being here tonight on both TMP and AM Wake Up. Appreciate you all. Tune in for AM Wake Up tomorrow morning. They're going to have T. Snyder on, and I think Tony Arterburn as a guest too. So that's going to be a banger of a conversation. Definitely go check out Amanda's links that are in the description. It's like the second line of the description. I don't even think you have to scroll down to the show me more stuff to even see it. Just click on that shit, follow it, and check out those recipes and stuff like that. Want to hear feedback of people who are trying some stuff out. It'd be nice to hear about. And then, yeah, Amanda, this is fun. I mean, we're definitely going to have you back on some TMP programs. I'd like to get more conversations like this going about alternative, health and wellness types of things that people can do to sort of like empower themselves and be individuals and sort of take care of themselves and the next generation after them too. So, I mean, this has been enlightening, and I hope that people get up and maybe fucking work out tomorrow.
Yeah. Go move your body tomorrow. Go to the gym.
Absolutely. So, but folks, thank you again. If you want to be a contributor to TMP, it's pretty simple. The easiest way that you can contribute to what we do is to follow us and then like and share these videos, because we are not going to get anywhere on these platforms because of the platforms themselves. They do not like us. We are way too critical of most things for them to get along with advertisers or, you know, whatever type of security and, you know, CIA cutouts that are making these platforms happen. So, yeah, we rely on you to spread the good word about what we do here at TMP and AM Wake Up. So make sure to share this shit, to hit the thumbs up before you leave this evening or whenever you're listening to this. And then also, if you want to make content, like any type of content, if you want to be on camera, if you just want to do audio, or if you want to edit shit, work on music, work on anything that could go into a production for a network of podcasters and creators like what we have going on here, TMP and AM Wake Up, then please hit me up at thenewprisoner6@protonmail.com. That's all one word and all spelled out, but thenewprisoner6@protonmail.com. And then also, if you want to contribute financially, you can do that. There's some links in the description for that. We have something set up through Spotify for podcasters where you can donate $1, $5, or $10 a month and become a monthly supporter. I have a bunch of folks that are doing that. And thank you to each and every one of you for doing that, because that shit adds up. And then even if it's just a small amount of people over the past several months, we were able to put aside money to go towards launching not only TMP 24/7, but also TMP Productions, which is coming soon. But then we're also set up on Subscribestar, where we have the TMP Document Vault. So that's where I like to put large files like PDFs, photos. I can put small videos there too for archiving, but we're using that right now to store anything from court transcripts to, you know, just little things like flyers and others, you know, for events too. We're doing as much as we can to archive things on the websites that are going to allow us to at least operate on them for now, until we can get our own servers and our own shit, and our own archive going. But Subscribestar has been good to us, haven't given us any shit yet. And you can also make one-time donations on Subscribestar. So if you just want to make a one-time donation of whatever the fuck, please feel free to. And then lastly, you can always drop Rumble rants during these streams. We do get paid for those. They take a heavy cut. But if you have that set up on your Rumble account and you feel generous, please feel free to drop a Rumble rant. We thank you for all that. So, but we'll see you all next Tuesday, same time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, and wherever the fuck it is in Harps's world over there in Australia. But Amanda, yeah, thank you for being part of this. Hope to talk to you again sometime soon. And thank you for the inspiration to be a little bit healthier tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks again.
Okay. And until we meet again, and until we are free, we are the new prisoners.